Take me back to the day I met you, when my dead heart came alive. I was running, but you came chasing. You couldn't wait to take me back. I'll sing of a grace that's still amazing. I'll dance like a child before the King. I'll shout like I've heard it for the first time. You have come to save the lost at last, and you are the God who always takes me back. Take me back to the day I saw you through the eyes of my first child. You let my heart see how much you love. Child before the King, and I'll shout like I've heard it for the first time. You have come to save the lost at last, and you are the God who always takes me back. Take me home to a place I'll know soon, where sin and sorrow cannot go, and all your family forever standing in the glory of the God who takes us back. So I'll sing of a grace that's still amazing. Before the King, and I'll shout like I've heard it for the first time. You've come to save the lost and left. So I will sing of a grace that's still amazing. I'll dance like a child before my King, and I will shout like I've heard it for the first time. You have come to save the lost and last, and you are the God who always takes me back.
Thanks. Now we get to joyfully continue our worship. Our scripture today comes from the 25th chapter of Matthew. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish one took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out and meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him into the to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So another simple scripture with a simple meaning that requires no digging deeper. If only. How many people immediately went to, why won't the people who have the oil share? What's wrong with those people? One of the things that you have to do is you have to understand scripture for what it is. And you have to understand what it's intended for. When you feel the beginning of this, it says, at the time the kingdom of heaven will be like. So it's a story, it's a parable that he's making up. There actually are no people who are withholding their oil from anyone else. But he's trying to make an analogy, make an example that people will be able to understand. So I want to kind of step back and pick that out. If there is a wedding and you're invited, what does that usually mean? That you have a relationship with the people who are getting married. They don't just flip open the internet and say, "Y'all come. Whoever's within 50 miles of Independence Oaks, just drop in for the wedding." No, it's a celebration that they want you to take part in because you have a relationship with them. So here is, I think, the critical verse of the whole thing. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you." See, what that tells me is that the oil is a symbol. It's not real. It's not, keep your lamp lit. It's keep your fire burning. As I was trying to put it in child's terms, if someone is your friend only because of what they have, they're not really your friend. Because just being with them should be enough, regardless of what else might happen. See, the thing is that in our day-to-day lives, we develop patterns, and things get jumbled and out of order, like I've talked about in one of my previous sermons. If you've ever taken a management class, you've probably been handed a quadrant that came from General Dwight Eisenhower, later to be President Eisenhower. And it's a simple four-square thing, and it says important and urgent. Urgent and not important. Important and not urgent. And not important and not urgent. And you're supposed to prioritize things by using that quadrant and doing the right thing at the right time. And I think too often, buying the oil, deepening our relationship with Jesus, gets put in the important but not really urgent. We can do it a little bit later. And that's reflected very well in book of by C.S. Lewis. I think it's the Screwtape Letters, and the head devil is talking to apprentice devils and demons. And they're trying to think of how to lead Christians astray. And one of them says, "Well, I'll just tell them that God doesn't really love them." The devil says, "Well, most people have experienced the love of God and know that that's not true. I don't think that's going to work very well." And they said, "Well, We'll tell them that God's too busy and doesn't have time for them. He says, I think they know that God is waiting for them. I don't think that's going to work. Another one says, well, I'll tell them to imagine that there's no heaven and all they've got is what they've got. And they said, the devil said, no, I think they know that there's something more than this world, and that's what this their yearning and longing is. And finally, the last one says, I'll tell them there's no hurry. And the devil said, you get them by the thousands. That's what this scripture is about, is that we put off building this relationship, making this relationship with Jesus, not because it isn't important, not because it doesn't matter, but because we have plenty of time. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day nor the hour. Sounds a little scary. But what I love is that this scripture isn't about, therefore, keep watch, you don't know the day or the hour, and it's too late for you anyway. No, it's Jesus saying, you don't know the day or the hour, so come on now. This is your opportunity. Now's the time to worship. One of the things that I struggle with is I have a different perspective of this. One of the things that often happens is some people tend to think that it's my job to pray for them. It's my job to do the Bible study for them and to break it down and to give them message. It's my job to do the holy stuff. But if you think of it logically, it doesn't work that way. Would you really say, you know, I'm really burned out. These 60-hour weeks are killing me. Could you go on vacation for me? Now, I would be glad to. I'll even take pictures and tell you how it went. But are you going to feel any more refreshed when I come back from your vacation? Or you're having a crazy day and you hit the ground running as soon as you got out of bed and you realize mid-afternoon you haven't eaten that day. I haven't had a chance to eat. Could you go eat dinner for me? You don't get fed from that. That's what this buying the oil is about. The foolish virgins say, can we just have some of your oil? And they said, no, I can't give you my relationship with God. God poured out the oil to me because I spent time with God. I wish I could give you my relationship with him, but I can't. The oil is that spending time with God. Now, just in case, I don't want you to think that this is a y'all problem, as we say in the South. Because I have the kind of the opposite problem, but it's still a problem. See, I'll work 50 hours a week at the church for God. But most of that is putting together a worship service, putting together notes for a sermon, putting together notes for a council meeting or confirmation class. And that's me spending time with Jesus because of what he can do for me, rather than just spending time with Jesus to make my relationship with him deeper. It's a real struggle in the clergy world. When you work for the church, you often will neglect your own devotional life and your own relationship with Jesus because you're always doing things with Jesus. But you're not allowing Jesus to be with you. So this speaks to me as well. The thing that makes this powerful to me is that it is a parable. The wise and foolish virgins are both object lessons, and the five are not shut out, and there is still an opportunity. What is said here is, truly I tell you, I don't know, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. This isn't the only time that Jesus preaches this way. He actually will say it again, and it says, you do not know the day or the hour, and neither do I, but only the Father knows. So when you go on the internet and someone tells you that the end is coming, and they lay out their case for why it's coming on Tuesday or next month or next year, be very afraid, because what they are claiming is, why, they know when Jesus comes, even if Jesus doesn't know when Jesus is coming. And anyone who claims to know more about Jesus than Jesus probably shouldn't listen to, even if they get 167,000 hits on YouTube. But what you should heed is Jesus reaching out to you and saying, therefore keep watch. You still have the chance. You still have the opportunity. I don't need you to pile up 10,000 good points. I don't want you to add to your collection of crowns to throw at my feet when you come to heaven. What I want you to do is, I want you to be with me. That's what I made you for. I made you for fellowship with me. Don't put it off. It's the only thing that lasts forever. Could you pray with me? Lord, as we come to this place today, and as we have sat here today, the worries of this world have come through our minds. Many of us are already making checklists for the week to come. That quadrant is filled with stuff, and we're trying to sort it all out. Help us understand that the purpose of this parable is to tell us to put that relationship with you first and foremost, that it's urgent and that it's important. Lord, we understand that that is the lesson of Lent. And all God's people said,